Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
The number of people killed in New Orleans has risen to 15, including the attacker. 35 people were injured. Today, the FBI briefed me that, as of now, we have no information that anyone else is involved in the attack. They've established that the attacker is the same person who planted the explosives in those ice coolers in two nearby locations in the French Quarter just a few hours before he rammed into the crowd with his vehicle. They assess he had a remote detonator in his vehicle to set off those two ice chests. So there's no question that, remember all the talk about other people were involved, placing, they have him, they have established he's there, and even established that he had a detonator to explode those ice chests.
That was the first person, I believe, to announce officially that they did know that he had remote detonators for those IEDs. Now, John, I don't know the French Quarter all that well, and I didn't do my job to go look and see what the different locations were they were talking about. But you said you are more familiar, you do, and because the TikTok on this is that he showed up in New Orleans, and around 1 is when he placed the bombs in these coolers, and then people were kind of looking at him and interacting with him, but those are the people they thought maybe were responsible. It turned out not to be, okay, because they've either talked to them or confirmed that they didn't have anything to do with the planting. They do have video of him actually planting the bombs, and my speculation had been, and I mean, I hate to engage in speculation, but could this have been a whole lot worse if the goal was, because I mean, driving your truck into a group of people at 3 a.m. doesn't sound to me like the high result kind of strategy, okay? It seems like you pick either more populated time or, you know, just, but then I was thinking, well, what if he's trying to drive people into, like, you know, hounds drive the foxes into an area where there's going to be explosions? And you say that based on the locations, that's what you think was happening?
Yes, that is my going theory, just because where he came in, you know, it's not middle, but it's kind of one way where people are going to try to get out of the situation. And then their two bombs were right there.
At the other side. Either side of where he had been, basically.
Yeah, that's my theory.
Yeah, and so at this point, of course, we don't know. I mean, thank God, but we don't know why they didn't go off. I mean, all kinds of possibilities. You know, he rams into that crane and the airbags deploy and the thing gets pushed out of his hand. He gets shot through the back window while he's driving and loses it. They don't work. I mean, who knows? Maybe eventually we'll know, maybe we'll never know. But my ears hear confirmation that his intent was to do much worse, a whole lot worse than what actually happened. And obviously, thank God that did not take place. We got a fair amount of information yesterday at the noon press conference from Christopher Rea, not related to Christopher Wray, who was the FBI. Well, now he's resigned, I guess, but, you know, was the FBI director. Christopher Rea, R-A-Y-A, says the big change was,
at this point, currently, and this is another position, another fact I want to be clear on, we do not assess at this point that anyone else involved in this attack is involved in this attack, except for Shamsuddin Jabbar, the subject you've already been briefed on.
Yeah, and they definitely call it terrorism.
First and foremost, let me be very clear about this point. This was an act of terrorism. It was premeditated and an evil act.
So ISIS-inspired, definite terrorism, acted alone, had a different intention in the beginning. In fact, put videos up on Facebook, 5 of them, if I'm not mistaken, about his intention, and I think based on the timestamp, like after placing the IEDs, then put up the video.
There were 5 videos posted on Jabbar's Facebook account, which are timestamped beginning at 1:29 a.m. and the last at 3:02 a.m. In the first video, Jabbar explains he originally planned to harm his family and friends, but was concerned the news headlines would not focus on the, quote, war between the believers and the disbelievers. End quote.
So he overtly avoided the original plan of, you know, just killing the people that he knows and loves, and instead decided to kill a whole bunch of strangers because that would get attention as a terrorist act for the what he thinks of as the war between the believers and non-believers. And by the way, for Islamo-fascists, for, you know, Islamic radicals, that is their perception. We're already in a war, and they need to kill as many of us as they possibly can. You know, the few of us who might be able to be converted don't matter a whole lot, but, you know, kill us, just slaughter us, destroy us. We don't matter. We are the infidel. That's not the view of, you know, the average Muslim, but that is the view of the radical Muslim. And that's who we are in conflict with, whether, you know, people want to agree that that's true or not. The only IEDs that were functional were the two. There were no other ones. That was all false information, as he said yesterday. And I appreciate that them correcting some of their information. They got a little bit of what for from the press for, you know, everything reversing. And, you know, within 24 hours, if everything has changed or a lot has changed, how can you be sure that we're safe? Well, the answer is because what they thought with other people being involved led them to be concerned about what else might be planned. But as they've run down leads, done interviews, evaluated video and everything else, it looks very much like this was just one person acting. They've kind of ruled out all of the other potential collaborators, and based on the, you know, going to the home. By the way, interesting stuff about the home. We'll talk about that in just a second. But it makes sense that you would be able to rule out, or mostly rule out, the possibility of collaboration, because you've eliminated all the forms or the evidence of which collaboration would show. That's kind of the idea. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
No accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. Even Highway 90 going into Pace or into Pensacola looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Where was the... I wanted to share with you the one about them talking about... the house, because I thought that was particularly interesting, and that was new information. Remember, we told you that there was a fire at the home that he had been staying at, the Mandeville site, the trailer location that they've, some of those pictures are actually up. There's nothing much interesting in them, but they're actually up online. Here it is. I thought this is kind of interesting. This is an unknown reporter asking questions and Chris Rea responding.
Speak to the Mandeville scene, and some neighbors at that site told us they smelled smoke early in the morning. Was there a fire there? Any kind of burning happening?
Yeah,
do you still believe that fire happened after the suspect was killed?
That's correct. Yeah, I'll move to 18. I do want to address the suicide vest question. I want to kill that one right away. Okay. There was no evidence that the subject was wearing a suicide vest at all. So I will turn the Mandeville stuff over to ATF.
Yeah, as to... The fire at the Mandeville scene. So our working theory now is that the fire started after Jabbar was already deceased. There's a lot of different ways that could happen. You could have different time devices. You could have a long cord that extended that time. You could also have pressure cookers that were put on top of the stove filled with gasoline, and then it went off. There's a lot of different ways to do it, but that is why our ATF National Response Team is here to answer those questions and get that investigative lead back to our team. So more to come on that. We're still processing that scene. We're out there right now.
So looks like, you know, drives from Texas, had set something to go off in his home. It went off after the events actually took place, you know, places the IEDs and then comes back and gets his truck 2 hours later or so, puts these videos up online in the meantime, and then does the attack. Is what it looks like was the sort of the rundown of how all these things took place. And again, acting alone. One of the other questions that's come up a lot is the question of connection to the Las Vegas Cybertruck explosion. And they are saying there's no evidence to tie them together. Now, I know online, you know, a lot of kind of, you know, amateur detectives are saying, well, look, logically, if they happen on the same day and, you know, they're one target's Trump, one target's Bourbon Street, and these people were both stationed at Fort Bragg in the past, and they're both former Army. One was a Green Beret. They're still trying to identify the body is the last I read, but they're pretty sure that he killed himself and he had this Cybertruck rig with all these explosives trying to do, you know, more horrible damage. Winds up only hurting 7 people. Thank goodness only 7 and very mild injuries. I had not even heard people reporting that there were any injuries, so that was news to me. But, you know, and on the same day, and also that both of them were stationed at Bragg, and you're wanting me to believe that's a coincidence. Well, A, Bragg is a huge facility with many, many people, and they never had overlapping tours. They were never overlapping time is what the reporting has said so far. So there's no reason to think that, even though it kind of looks suspicious on the outside, that's not the same as something actually being true. Could it turn out? Sure. I mean, you don't know. It could turn out. But, you know, always wait for the evidence to justify it. Don't speculate, right? Because things can look like a thing and they're not necessarily that thing. One last just brief thing, just kind of change tone a little bit, is in the Biden brief thing that he did yesterday, this was ahead of the Sugar Bowl game. He did this, you know, brief thing at the opening of the Sugar Bowl to try to make people feel better, and that's fine. That's good. That's presidential. But there was kind of a funny moment for him when he was doing this very brief kind of press event right before that.
New Orleans is a city of tremendous spirit. You can't keep it down. You really can't. And we're seeing that today. The Sugar Bowl is back on. Kickoff is going to take off very shortly. If I don't get this damn thing done, we're going to be in real trouble.
It's funny.
And the FBI has handed control to Bourbon Street back to local officials. Security of the area has been reinforced.
Am I the weird one for thinking it's kind of reassuring that the president has the cognitive capacity to make an off-the-cuff joke? I mean, that shouldn't be the level of reassurance, right? Something so bad. But I actually was. I was actually reassured that at that moment. And then he followed up with this.
People in New Orleans are sending an unmistakable message. They will not let this attack or the attackers with his deluded ideology overcome us. None of us should fear that he'll overcome us. We're going to continue to relentlessly pursue ISIS and other terrorist organizations where they are, and they'll find no safe harbor here. I'll continue to provide updates in New Orleans and Las Vegas as the facts develop.
You had me for a second, sir. 721 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
Here's today's Strength for Life.
Winning at life is a scriptural concept. Run that you may obtain speaks of winning. Run in such a way that you avoid being a castaway. We should run like Paul, not Demas. Paul fought a good fight, finished his course, and kept the faith, and henceforth there's laid up for him a crown of righteousness. However, Demas forsook his friend and his faith, having loved this present world. Paul was a winner, but Demas was a castaway. So what's the key to winning at life? The Bible says it's temperance, self-control. It's not asceticism, religious self-effort, but it is spirit-enabled self-control. Temperance is a fruit of the spirit. It's allowing your position in Christ to determine your pursuits. So avoid being a castaway by biblically regulating each area of your life, spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally, verbally. Control yourself for God's glory. Spirit-filled self-control is the key to winning at life.
For more Strength for Life, check out our website at strengthforlife.church.
The cooler weather in Pensacola is a great time of the year for gardening. Whether it's planting roses, planting shrubs and trees in cool weather color, and of course, planning for spring. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got gardening questions, we've got answers on the News Radio Garden Line every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesdays, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
Sponsored by Pensacola Hardware, Blue Sky Landscaping, at Barnes Feed Store.
Hi, my name is Michael Dylan Thompson, candidate for Congress here in my home district. I'm proud to be the only candidate who voters petitioned to be on the ballot. Every other candidate paid over $10,000 to qualify, often using either lobbyist or special interest money. As a born and raised Pensacola native, I will fight for my district. I will fix the insurance crisis created by establishment politicians, and I will protect our brave service members who keep America free. We don't need outsiders bringing Washington, D.C. corruption into Northwest Florida. We need new ideas and fresh leadership to fight for us. As your congressman, I pledge to always put Florida first. There's a critical election on January 28th, and I need your vote. This is our chance to take back our voice and send a clear message to the career politicians. We won't let special interests decide our future. Together, we can restore accountability, protect our values, and secure a stronger future for Northwest Florida. I'm Michael Dylan Thompson, and I'm proud to approve this message.
Paid for by Michael Dylan Thompson for Congress, Republican.
News Radio 92.3 gets you live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
They call me Mr. Pig!
It's Generation Swine. Before this show, I had like 20 or 30 friends on PPD. I'm probably down to like four now. We've been doing all pig-related bumpers and drops as much as I can today. In honor of the apprehension of the...
Be careful when you're driving today.
Somebody texted me. So on this PPD story, apprehending the loose pig on I-110 yesterday, are you going to go whole hog or full bore? Y'all are terrible. I would never make such awful jokes. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report right now, but if you're at the intersection of Highway 29 and 9 Mile, I'm seeing some delays, just a few minutes delayed just due to congestion. But everything else is looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. David Wayne's in the newsroom with much better judgment than I have. David?
I wouldn't say that with that much certainty. Car sharing app Turo is facing a lot of scrutiny now after authorities revealed both the vehicles used in the New Orleans attack and the Las Vegas explosion on New Year's Day were rented through the platform. So far, investigators do believe it's a coincidence.
In a statement, a Turo spokesperson saying in part, "We do not believe that either renter involved in the Las Vegas and New Orleans attacks had a criminal background that would have identified them as a security threat. We remain committed to maintaining the highest standards in risk management."
And that's NBC News' Antonia Hilton and Turo standing by their screening practices.
Yeah, in talking about whether there is or is not a connection between somebody had texted the same thing, you know, is there a... Well, I thought there was also they rented the same... That's true. Another what I would describe as a coincidence, unless there's reason to believe that it was something more than just a coincidence. By the way, Turo, is it T-U-R-O? Is that how you spell it?
It is,
T-U-R-O.
Yeah.
They missed an opportunity because it's like you rent cars from people privately, right, as opposed to through an agency.
Yeah, kind of like an Airbnb, but for vehicles.
Yeah. Why didn't they call it Car-B&B? I mean, I know car bread and breakfast doesn't make any sense, but everyone would instantly know what it means if they called it Car-B&B. Maybe there's copyright issues for that. So anyway, go ahead, David. I interrupted you. Sorry.
Seven U.S. Army veterans receiving the Medal of Honor today. Five of those recipients were killed in combat. All seven of the recipients served in either Vietnam or Korea, and that includes one Korean War vet who became a four-star general. Supporters of the Menendez brothers today meeting with Los Angeles County's district attorney about resentencing the brothers. The coalition of supporters includes 20 members of the Menendez family.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Oh, y'all have good jokes. Somebody's texting me and says, recent apprehension of the getaway pig has now been turned over to internal affairs for thorough grilling of the suspect.
Okay, that was good. I got to admit it.
Oh, goodness. Y'all are killing me. And can I tell you, no one appreciates those jokes more than the police officers because those are the kind of jokes that they would make, too. So that's good stuff. Somebody says, these two incidents have got to be connected. Come on. Can I give you an example? This is a bad example, but it's one you know. I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. You remember when Captain Jeff Kuss, the number six pilot for the Blue Angels, crashed in Smyrna, Tennessee? Okay. And I knew Jeff because he flew me in the Blue Angels. And you know, I mean, didn't know him well, but I knew him, you know, well enough, right? So that was a very, very awful day. That same day, do you remember this? A Thunderbird crashed flying over the Colorado Springs over the United States Air Force Academy when Obama was speaking there. You remember? Maybe you guys are looking at me with blank stares. You don't remember that?
I don't remember.
Same day. Captain Alex Turner was the pilot. He bailed out. He was safe. In fact, I got to meet him. One of my favorite pictures I ever got to take was of Frank Weiser, who replaced Jeff Kuss on the team, came back on the team again, mm-hmm. and Alex Turner on one side and on the other, because those were the two pilots representing the two planes that went down. It's a weird kind of coincidental photo. But yeah. Okay, so were those events connected? I mean, come on. Two military demonstration flight squadrons both lose a plane the same day. Massive coincidence. Seems like they got... Well, no, there's no reason to think they're connected at all. There's just no reason to think that. And the world has massive coincidences. Sometimes. Now, I get it. It sort of strains your credulity to believe that, but... Okay, if there's actual evidence connecting them, that's one thing. But what would be the thread? And it doesn't seem like there's any thread explaining it. Now, it could turn out, but don't jump to that conclusion just on the basis of these superficial markers. That's all I'm saying. Always be cautious to jump to these kind of, you know, conclusions. And I know people don't trust the government. They feel like they're lying to you, and that's kind of built into the way you take their information. But just be cautious about that, too.
News. I'm CJ Papa. The drama set to unfold today in the House when Mike Johnson fights to retain his speakership.
Speaker Johnson has said that he has talked with all of the members who have not yet committed to supporting him today. The magic number, it is 218.
That's Fox's Alexandria Hoff at the White House. Oklahoma Congressman Kevin Hearn says he's backing Mike Johnson.
I think we'll get it done today. It's not going to be pretty.
Republican on Fox Business, Speaker Johnson can only lose to Republicans in his bid for re-election. President Biden blocks the sale of U.S. steel to Japanese buyer Nippon Steel. The president saying the deal fulfills responsibility to block foreign ownership of vital U.S. company. President-elect Trump had vowed to block the deal as well. Nippon Steel and U.S. Steel have vowed to pursue legal action against the government. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got 47 degrees right now. Partly cloudy skies this morning in Pensacola. Well, as we continue to learn more about the attack in New Orleans this week, Pensacola police want the public to know that they're doing everything they can do to keep our local events, such as this weekend's Mardi Gras celebrations, safe.
We have a very robust security apparatus that we deploy. Especially on the parade routes. A lot of it is visible with multiple layers. A lot of it is not visible to the public, but in the background of other things that we do.
That is Pensacola Police Chief Eric Randall, and he and his officers evaluate security for each and every event. He says they're constantly utilizing new technology such as cameras and drones, and Mardi Gras celebrations set to kick off around the area over the weekend. Well, we do get a glimpse into the past today. Century opening their Millennium Time Capsule. That was sealed 25 years ago. The capsule contains items that folks back in the year 2000 wanted to be seen in the future. The capsule's already been unearthed. It'll be open today at 1 p.m., the ceremony happening at the Century Town Hall. It was a good year for bands on the bayou. The East Hill Neighborhood Association Concert Series raised about $45,000, that money being distributed to six selected nonprofit organizations. Those include Bike Pensacola, the Dixon School of Arts and Sciences, Pensacola Children's Chorus, Rally Foundation, Survivor-Led Solutions, and Upward Intuition. Each of those groups will get a portion of the money to further their mission and to continue providing resources and support in the community. An outgoing lawmaker from the Panhandle behind a bill aimed at protecting animals, Santa Rosa County State Representative Joel Rudman, filed HB 79 Monday. That bill increases penalties for acts of animal cruelty committed during a state of emergency. Rudman was inspired by a dog that was abandoned in the Tampa Bay area ahead of Hurricane Milton. Well, you might need to pull out some sweaters for the Arctic blast coming our way
soon.
Reinforcing
dry and cool air will continue to filter down into the region through Saturday.
That is National Weather Service meteorologist Sammy Hady. He says a series of cold fronts will start pushing north and hit Florida starting tomorrow. And it does look like we'll be seeing our lows dropping by next week down below that freezing mark. A couple accused of keeping their kids living in squalor in South Florida. This happened in Miami-Dade. Police there say five kids between the ages of 6 and 12 were found Tuesday in an apartment with no electricity, food, or plumbing. The parents weren't there, and a 12-year-old had been left in charge. Police arrested 40-year-old Sinel Kanovic and 33-year-old Azra Nikasevich with child neglect. The children are now in child protective custody. It's 7:35 at News Radio 92.3. And let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
Presented by The Generator Source, powering Pensacola's businesses with industrial generators to commercial backup systems with the most trusted brands.
Expert installation and 24/7 support. That's GeneratorSource.com. No accidents to let you know about right now. I-10 is flowing good. Not seeing any delays through any construction zone right now. Also, I'm not seeing anything else. That's good news. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. Beautiful day today with plenty of sunshine, high near 63 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 38 degrees. For Saturday, temperatures cooling off, high near 57. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 46. On Sunday, 30% chance of rain, high near 70 degrees and a low near 54. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now it is 48 degrees. We've got partly cloudy skies in Pensacola, 46 in Gulf Breeze, and we've got 40 in Milton. Your next news at 8 o'clock. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. South Korea's Hyundai Motor and affiliate Kia aim to grow their combined global sales by 2% in 2025 after reporting falls in 2024 sales and missing their targets. The automakers, which together rank third in global vehicle sales, sold roughly 7.2 million vehicles in 2024. 12-ounce bags of market-side broccoli florets sold at Walmart stores in 20 states are being recalled after random testing found listeria in one sample of the product, according to the FDA. The product was sold in Michigan, Washington, Idaho, and more. Aeromexico was the most on-time airline in 2024, according to a report by Cirium, with roughly 87% of its flights arriving as planned. Saudia, the flagship carrier of Saudi Arabia, and ranked second, while Delta ranked third. Futures are slightly higher. Thursday, the Dow Industrials lost 151. The NASDAQ down 30. That's Your Money Now.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down and get it going slower.
Izervay is proven to slow GA progression.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Izervay or Avacincaptad Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Izervay.com. That's Izervay.com.
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider. Right now, offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service and support only a locally owned company can provide. Join the revolution at DataRevs.com.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us today at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Are you hungry for news that keeps you informed, is local and dependable? Look no further than News Radio Pensacola on 92.3, 95.3, and on AM 1620. We're your trusted source for all the latest happenings in the Emerald Coast. From breaking news to in-depth reports, we've got you covered. Our team of experienced journalists brings you the stories that matter most to our community. Stay connected with local events, weather updates, and traffic reports, ensuring you're always one step ahead. We're News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
You wired me awake and hit me with a hand of broken nail. You tied my lead and pulled my chain to watch my blood begin to boil. But I'm gonna break, I'm I'm gonna break my rusty cage and run.
Now, you can't say that Johnny did it better than Soundgarden, but also kind of did. I mean, the underlying song is so good, but when Johnny did all of those remakes several years ago, they were amazing, absolutely amazing. The Tourism Development Council had a very interesting conversation that a little bit feisty, frankly, and some interesting observations came out of it about the downtown lights that are up, you know, going to be up year-round and, you know, have been, you know, on, of course, in downtown Pensacola. We all love the lights. Walker Wilson, the director, executive director of the Downtown Improvement Board, was there to talk about a funding request for $30,000 for those lights.
They were here requesting a contribution towards Friends of Downtown, the First City Light Festival that we have every year with the Christmas lights that are up. And we get a donation from the Downtown Improvement Board, from the City of Pensacola, their parking revenue. We get a chunk out of there, and Florida Power and Light.
And Mitesh Patel, who is one of the members of the TDC, a hotelier.
On the application, I saw the one, I think the year before last, you guys got $15,000. And then this time you're asking for more than double. Why is that?
Again, we've got bills to pay for traffic control when we put these lights out, hiring L30, some bills that we've got to pay, keeping them up throughout the year on this portion of Palafox from Garden down to Main Street is more expensive than normal, and then having them, again, added to Jefferson and Belmont to Villers as well.
All right, here's where it's going to get a little bit interesting, because Mitesh Patel is going to be against this funding request. And remember, tourism development tax is the money you pay whenever somebody rents a hotel room. A slice of that goes 5%, if I remember correctly. Each cent does a little bit different thing. But I think 5%, I think that's at the max. It might be the 6 is the max. I forget. Sorry. But that money has to go for tourism-related matters. And he says, I don't think this is an appropriate use of the money.
Personally, I think I've seen the application, and the application says that this will help the downtown restaurants and the bars. And to me, it's a problem when we're taking money from TDC or TDT, which is tourism development. The sole purpose of the tax is to drive more heads and beds.
And so he's worried that the money's not being used properly. There's been a history of issues at the TDC, you know, questions of whether things are in or out of statute, seeking attorney general opinions. I mean, it hasn't been massive controversy, but there's been enough. You know, there's been some questions, right? I don't know that he's quite saying that, but he is saying, I think the money shouldn't be used this way.
I'm okay with charging more tax to restaurants or more tax for liquor and beer, and then use that money for this kind of stuff. But I think too many times we're taking money from the TDT, which is for tourist development, and giving it, and I'm not picking on you. Sorry if you feel that way.
All good.
Being on this board this year, my frustration has growing. It keeps growing.
And you kind of might wonder, well, it sounds like there's something else going on. Like, because, I mean, Tish is kind of a contrarian, which is fine. I like that, you know, that somebody's going to ask the questions other people won't ask. But it feels like there was something else. And sure enough,
the numbers are down in November. They're going to be even worse in December. I own hotels here, and I know how slow it's been, and I know how slow the last 2 weeks have been. It's very frustrating to me when we take dollars that should be spent to market the area, and we use it on things that are not going to bring more people here. People have to find another way to find money for these kind of projects, but I don't think it's right. I don't think it's fair that we take tourism dollars that are meant for driving tourism to Escambia County and using them for other purposes.
So he's kind of saying that the only proper use of TDT funds is to advertise and generate people coming here. He's a hotel owner, and he's frustrated because his sales are down November and December, and he thinks, you know, this is going to continue to be a problem. This is about to get a whole lot more interesting, at least in terms of, you know, people fighting about it. Ronnie Rivera, who also sits on that council.
I agree with your sentiment, Tish. I do. But I will say that I do think that oftentimes, when we think about beautifying a community for the tourists that are coming here, it does seem like it is a bit of a marketing. I mean, and I get that's a stretch. I do get it's a stretch. But I do think we want to put our best foot forward with people that are coming to our community in the month of December. And we know that people are coming. I can't say they're not. Do we beautify downtown with that? I will say, you know, my question is always, does the city have skin in the game? And the city does have skin in the game on this one. And so, I don't know. I find support in this.
So the city has skin in the game because they've got money involved in this already, and so they're asking for money from TDC. So he says that makes sense. You know, is it advertising? Is it promotion? Is it placemaking? Whatever. Mitesh Patel is not going to take the idea of having skin in the game well from Ronnie Rivera.
And you say that because you don't have,
you're right,
you don't have hotels and your business isn't down and you don't have 150 employees that you have to figure out how you're going to give them more hours because the business just isn't here.
Okay.
The lights were out there this year and there was no TDT money used. So why all of a sudden do we need TDT money?
So my hotels are suffering. Why do we need this money? The lights were out last year. Why do we need to give money for something we didn't have to pay for last year?
Yes, you don't have skin in the game. I do, and it's hard for me to go to my employees and say, "Hey, in the last 20 years of being in this business, I've never had to think about how am I going to give my employees more hours." Even through COVID, we kept people working. This is the first year in 20-something years that I have had to now figure out how am I going. Do I lay people off? I've never had to lay anybody off. That to me is a problem. So yes, it's personal for me. I know it's not for you because you don't have skin in the game.
Okay, we'll come back to this in a second. John Pickens got traffic on the fives. John?
Wow. I just want to do the rut-row Scooby-Doo thing. Brought to you by the Watson Law Firm. If you've been injured in a car accident, visit watsonfirm.com. No accidents to let you know about right now. But if you're on Cervantes trying to turn north onto Palafox, experiencing about a 5 to 7 minute delay there just due to congestion and volume of traffic. But other than that, everything looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. If you're thinking about that next vehicle and, you know, maybe it's not time yet. And I actually recommend go looking before you need it, right? When you need a car, it's kind of like you shouldn't be shopping then because typically it's because something's gone wrong with the car or you've had an accident. Can't predict for that, but maybe the mechanical breakdown finally caught up with you that you were trying to postpone or trying to hope and would not happen. Shop ahead of time as much as you possibly can. Be prepared for the possibility of getting that next car. Buy, like, go to Frontier, look around, look at the sedans and the sports cars and the SUVs and, you know, the vans and just and see what they've got. And decide what you like, and if they have a good deal, maybe you buy it. That's what happened to us. We inadvertently found one that was perfect for us and a great price. Or if they don't have exactly what you want, you can send them looking for it. They go kind of on consignment, not really, you know, you don't pay them for it, but they go looking for cars for people all the time at auctions or from private sales or whatever. You want more miles and you're willing to, you know, sacrifice that to get a better price, or you want fewer miles and you're willing to pay more for it or a different trim level or different color, whatever. They do that for people all the time. But shop ahead so you're not stressed when the time comes to figure out what you want and find it. Have the what you want figured out ahead of time. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years. Behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. Back to the conversation at the Tourism Development Council over whether $30,000 to help fund the downtown lights that we all love, but that Mitesh Patel, a local hotel owner, is complaining is not a proper use of the TDT because his business is suffering and he's worried about layoffs and giving people hours and he's never had to deal with that before. And, you know, he says that it's really not appropriate for Ronnie Rivera, who is a friend, but also he's a member of the council. And he says, look, you know, skin in the game. You don't have it, buddy. I do. And this is costing me.
We have to use these TDT dollars wisely. And when we don't, it's going to suffer. A lot more people will suffer. Yes, the bars and restaurants are busy, but when tourists aren't coming here, the bars and restaurants will feel it too. The hotels will feel it first, and then everybody else will feel it later.
So he sounds super stressed. I mean, which I can understand. That's a horrible situation to be in if your business is suffering and you're worried about people and you're worried about it becoming a wider spread problem. I will say this. I checked with Visit. I checked with Darren Schaefer and asked him, you know, and because I had been under the impression that we kept doing better and better every year with TDT, that there was more and more of it coming in. And sure enough, it's up. It's a record, 22 million. Total visitors are up also well over last year. Some areas of the county were up, others were down. But one of the issues is that apparently with more people coming, there's been a lot more hotels built. And some hotels are doing a better job of adapting to that and some are not. Or some are making the money, some are not. So overall, the hotels are doing better. That doesn't mean that everybody's particular hotels are doing well. And obviously you hear from Mitesh Patel saying his hotels are struggling. Jen Brer, meanwhile, City Council member Jen Brer, who sits on the TDC, says, I like the lights. The lights make us look good. They're an important element of a perfect way to spend tourism money.
It's hard to argue that this beautification of downtown doesn't bring people down here and show that we are up and open. I think, personally, I think that when you pay good tourist dollars to go to a place, you want it to be beautiful. And you want it to look like they spiffed it up so that it would be there for the people.
It looks nicer. People talk about it, you know?
I get what you're saying, and I'm sorry about what you're going through, and I obviously don't have that same experience. However, I do, you know, as a mother and a grandmother and bringing all my family downtown, they love it, and the light of the downtown is magical, and I think it draws you back down. So I think that it's not a huge ask, and I think that the year-round and expanding it is beneficial to the businesses.
So it's interesting. Somebody texts in, I don't think of Pensacola and the lights downtown being a draw for tourists in December. But what they're talking, and I agree. I mean, I think probably it's mostly us, you know, for that. But what about at other times of the year, if they're up, they become a thing people maybe don't come here just for that, but it enhances the appeal of coming here, and it kind of gives them that, you know, kind of thing that they take pictures of and then they promote, and then it promotes Pensacola, so it's indirect marketing. Mitesh Patel responding.
We can make it even bigger. We can make it even better.
But
if it benefits the downtown businesses, benefits the downtown restaurants, it benefits the downtown bars. It does not benefit my hotels that are not downtown. It doesn't benefit the restaurants that are not downtown. And there's nobody that's driving from over 100 miles out just to come look at the lights in Pensacola.
I mean, I agree with that, but it's a collage of things that make downtown appealing, and this is one of those things. Now, is it the best use of that amount of money? Interesting question. Does it really generate tourism? Does it enhance tourism? I think it enhances. I don't know that it generates. But the TDT doesn't have to generate. It can be a whole variety of things, and David Baer points this out. It can be just placemaking.
The tourist development tax is not collected specifically to market, to be used to market for heads and beds. That is what the heads and beds is what generates the ability for us to continue to market, but it is for the development of tourism, whether that's heads and beds or through any other economic impact that the tourists make while they're here in our community, in our county. And so part of tourism development includes placemaking and marketing of the place. We have to have assets to market.
Yeah, and I agree with that. I think I would have voted for this if I was on the board.
You want me to stop selling? All right, I'm stopped selling. We have a motion and
Jim
a
Reeves
second.
Made a joke
is there
about
any further
how,
debate
you know,
or discussion?
Quit while you're ahead, brother.
Hearing none, please call the roll, if you would.
And that winds up being an all but one vote in favor of it, okay? Tish Patel is the one who votes against it. So they did approve this to fund the lights to be on all year round, which I think is kind of a neat thing. 437-1620, somebody says, what lights are they talking about? Oh, the downtown lights that are up on the trees and stuff. At you know, you see the white lights at night. That's what they're talking about. And somebody says, tourism dollars aren't just to prop up his hotels. Also true. I mean, that's true. No, I think he comes to this board, he's frustrated, he's suffering economically, he wants to care for his people, and he wants to see his business do well, and you know that's why the hoteliers are on there, but that's also why you don't have only hoteliers on the TDC. Like my boss, Mary Hoxing, represents media on there, you know, or maybe Beach, because, you know, condo, and I forget, but, you know, she's on there, and, you know, city council members are on there, and other people at large are on there, so there's a variety of interests that are represented on the Tourism Development Council precisely because it's not only hotel benefiting money. It's all these other things as well. 754 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Remember when washing machines were made in America, were solidly built, and actually got your clothes clean? They aren't a thing of the past. They are Speed Queen, and they are available at Tops Appliance. Speed Queen washer and dryers combine durability and technology into the best washers and dryers in the world. Speed Queen will change the way you think about washing machines. They're built to last longer and deliver exceptional wash results. Unlike many other washers and dryers with plastic parts, Speed Queen uses commercial-grade steel and porcelain components designed to give you at least 25 years of reliable, trouble-free operation. That's why they come with lifetime warranties, the best warranties in the business. See store for warranty details. Speed Queen washers and dryers are built to work and built to last. If you want durability, innovation, and perfectly done laundry the first time, then you want Speed Queen. See these great Speed Queen washers and dryers for yourself at Topps Appliance on Highway 90 in Milton, just east of Stewart Street.
As a business owner, you have a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. An IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, submitting state and federal taxes, helping with COVID employee retention credits, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Avalon HR, employing made easy.
Join Keith and Pam, your insurance experts with Verus Health Partners, Monday at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Learn how to save money on your healthcare costs. Find the right insurance products that best fits the needs for you and your family as you head towards retirement or are looking for options now. They will be taking your calls and questions Monday at 9 with Verus Health Partners on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, Pep Talk. Mornings at 9, right after Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Man, I'm stuffed.
Me too. I ate like a pig.
Pumbaa, you are a pig.
Oh, right.
Text in from one of the PPD says, oh no, the jokes are funny, we appreciate it. mostly bumpers and drops related to the pig arrest yesterday on I-110 by PPD. You know when that call comes in, they all look at each other like, not it. Because being it means being in the pictures. And yes. Nobody wants to be the picture of the guy who was had to go chase down the pig on I-110 and, you know, anyway. what was this? Somebody texted in earlier that, you know, the pig has been apprehended and turned over to internal affairs for, you know, some serious grilling on the. I just figure IA is going to keep turning up the heat till they get what they want. John Pickens. That's so insensitive, Andrew. That's somebody's pig. Okay, it can be some pig, right? You know, it can be, you know, Charlotte, but that's not where the comedy is. John Pickens got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. But if you're at the intersection of Dime Mile and Highway 29, just seeing some minor delays in that area, and that's basically all I'm seeing. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Oh, this is an interesting note. I got a text from somebody who says there's about 1,000 short-term rentals in Pensacola, talking about competition for hotels. And also that this person says their rentals, like I assume beach rentals, are down because of competition. So even though the overall market is up and visitation is up, increasing supply means that not every supplier does well. Interesting. That's an interesting perspective. I appreciate that. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The FBI says there's no link between the attack in New Orleans and the one in Las Vegas, at least that they've found yet. The explosion in Vegas killed a Colorado man and injured several others in New Orleans. 14 people were killed. Two people are dead, 19 injured after a plane crashed through the roof of a warehouse in Fullerton, California. That happened on Thursday afternoon at a building adjacent to the airport there in Orange County, California. And Denver reportedly paying a record expansion fee for a team in the Women's National Soccer League. According to Sportico, they've been awarded the 16th franchise in the NWSL, and they're paying $110 million to get that team.
What?
Apparently, there's big money in
the
National
City of Denver is paying $110 million to get a women's soccer team.
Women's National Soccer League team.
Wow. Okay. Okay. Tez Johnson of Oregon waited until Will Howard of OSU finished his interview on camera so he could congratulate him after the win. That's
local
classic.
News every
that's
hour
good.
And breaking news when it matters most. News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.